Must have been 10 minutes of revelation to one woman. Called out another woman down here and healed her of cancer. I won't forget it because it was so impressive to me. Her sister had died of cancer and she had cancer in her breast up under her arm. And it told her what she said to some poor child that was out in the streets. There she sits right there in trouble. Right there, and she was healed that moment and sent a cloth to save the life of a young woman that had gone astray. She'd never told anybody what she'd so told that person. She'd not told me. But the Spirit showed her. Your name's Ford, isn't it? I know things under revelation, isn't it? Sister Ford. And it spoke about that girl, Patricia, and saved her because she was out in trouble and you were worried about it and showed that you were worried about it. And saved her. And saved you that cancer. You haven't got any more pain tonight, have you? It's all gone, isn't it? Waving her hand back there. Peace. It's wonderful. But I know all about temptation. And I know all about trials. And I know that Jesus went through everything. As you say, Jesus was. He even went through sex. Yes, he did. So how do you know? I'll give you three guesses. I know that a lot of things you weren't told about Jesus. But it's so anyhow. I don't think you're following me. I mean, Jesus went through mortality. He went through mortality with Martha and Mary. So what do I mean? What do you think I mean? I mean, he knew what mortal relationships were. He lived in them. How could anybody save you unless they went through where you've been? Nobody could. But I've gone through that plane and lifted up to a higher consciousness. But it's a strong plane. I could enter into sex and not sin. You know how? Because I wouldn't have any time to think. It's that strong in me. Him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, it is sin. If I'd let myself just get around people in the female sense, I wouldn't have any time to think. But I don't do that. So all I've got left is food. Because I can't do any of the other things without hurting you. I can drink you under the table. I can do it. And I don't take a sip. This is grape juice, child. Cranberry juice and other little concoctions of natural juices that have kept many alive in this place. Because I've anointed it to be so. Peace. I like wine, and I could drink it by the half bottleful. Just love it. So how do you know? Oh, I've drank it. That's how I know. Years ago. I tried everything so that I know exactly where I had to go to save you. For I was your pastor. One time I got acquainted with liquor. Somebody played a joke on me because I was a very strong advocate of holiness. Always have lived a clean life. And on that occasion, some Latvian people that I'd saved, and I've always been saving people, I gave the refugees homes that were coming from Europe during that horrible day after the war, you know, after World War II. I was doing work after World War II. I've been around longer than some of you seem to think. Somebody asked me in the aisle tonight if I knew what happened in the days of McCarthy. Are you kidding? Peace. Joe McCarthy was after me. I was such an active person in civil rights. He was after me. He sent his agents, that conspiracy that almost threw out democracy in this land. Old Joe McCarthy tried his best to get me subpoenaed. He couldn't do it. Oh, I've been around before McCarthy, and I've been around before Truman, and I've been around before Roosevelt. I've been around as far back as you want to go if you actually want to go back to infinite principle. I'm talking quiet tonight because I choose to. Because I'm overwhelmed by the joy of the children, what they found, and I don't want anybody to take it away. And I say that if it is taken away, you better watch out. Woe unto you that causes a stone of offense. Said offenses must needs be come, but woe to you that bring them. And I'm going to tell you, I'm speaking for me, and I'm speaking for my angels. You better not try to destroy this ship of state, because your number is up. I said the other night, I said, if anything happens to, in any way, seemingly to impair my progress within a year, I said, there's certain folk I want you to take cognizance of, talking to my angels. And I certainly want that done, and I want them to know it will be done. See, I don't understand you. Perhaps you're not supposed to, but some do. If anything seems to impede this holy plan that has been created, where goodness is so perpetual that I will even stop a funeral procession because a little dog was in the street and people didn't think there was anything could be done for it. When I got out of the street, that officer said, "You can't do anything about that dog." "Oh, is that so? Well, I'll have you know that that dog is in Johnny May Yates' house tonight. The doctor said it'll live." Knocked senseless by being hit, and then on top of that, distemper. They all say dogs die with distemper. But I'll have you know that the veterinary sent it home saying it would live. And I stopped a funeral procession for it, and the officers practically run over it. Why do we have to go like we're crazy as hell, run to a cemetery? Nobody gonna tell me, because I'm not what you think you are. I'm not what you think you are, and I want you to quit thinking what you are, that you're just no count man. I'm something more than ordinary man. So I came here to get healed tonight. Well, you just may not get healed tonight until you listen to what I've got to say to the church. You just ask anyone around if you don't believe in healing. Just ask any neighbor. Just reach in front of you. And some of you, I wouldn't heal in the first place. Smart ass. Say, now that's a strange way for you to talk. Oh, I guess it's not so strange. I'll just open the Bible here. I know all about the Bible. 113th Psalm, I find it open to here. Fifth verse. Who is like unto God, our God who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He that raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the shithill. On my sacred oath, I just opened that, and that's just what I found. You said you didn't see shithill in the Bible. Oh, yes, I did. I saw shithill right in the Bible. You're looking at me funny, like you don't know what I'm talking about. 113th Psalm, and I'm right here on the 8th verse, 7th verse. If you want to be like our God, who dwelleth on high,
then you have to raise up the poor out of the dust and lift up the needy out of the dunghill. And in the Greek and in the Portuguese and in the Jewish, that means shithill.
Get tired of these people. So I've got a right to say, when I look at somebody making fun of my people shouting tonight, you're lucky you can walk out on your feet, and you're lucky you're not laying flat on your ass. Don't you come in here and make no remarks or make any kind of attitudes or even send out any vibrations to my people when they're in these aisles, because I'll let you be carried out. I didn't ask you here, but I can damn well carry you out. Now, we've been in your honkies shit heap. We've been in your honkies dunghill. We've always had to come in at the side door or sit back and look at fine buildings. Now we have got something that belongs to us. Look out on us with dismay. And I want to tell you, don't do it no more, because the next time I'll lay you flat on your ass. Shall I never heard a man speak like that before. And you never seen a man that can call somebody with their eyeball knocked out to heal it either. You never seen nobody do that either. You never seen anybody take a woman like Sister Cunningham that is destroyed with a stroke and make her run around like a little child. You've never seen anybody to take a woman that was dead like this woman for 2 hours, or the woman next to her that had a cancer and her daughter had cancer, or the woman next to her that had 3 bones broken and healed them in 48 hours, or the woman next to her that was operated 5 times for cancer. No, you've not seen it. Right down the line I'm talking about. Or the one next that had a cataract removed by my power, by the word of my command. Or the one next that was healed by arthritic condition and a heart condition and blood pressure. Or the one next that was raised from the dead. Or the one next that was raised from the dead. No, you haven't seen anybody. So if you don't like this house, you better get out while you can, or I'll lay you on your ass. Come in here like you're doing God a service. You wouldn't be here if your church had been meeting your need. So why don't you know the true scriptures? As I said, there's no dirtier word in all the words of language, in all the semantics of old, than dung. It's a nasty word. Jewish people were not supposed to use it, but it didn't keep Paul from using it. When he looked out at the false churches and false religions, all of his old formalities, and all the institutional upbringing that he had, he said, I count it all dung. I count it all dung. That I might know Christ, the revolution, the anointing. So I guess I have a right to use the language that I choose. I'm going to tell you that if you've got any life in you tonight, I gave it to you. If you've got any health in your body, I put it there. If you have life instead of death, it was I that gave it to you. If you have salvation, I brought it. So if I created the words, I can damn well use them. Because there's nothing that is, you say, without God making it so. So God had to let a word dunghill come on. God had to let some other words come on too. Say, the devil made those words. Well, you said God made the devil. Said, well, the devil can't do God's will. All power. Romans 13:1 says, all power that be. All powers, not power. Powers, plural. All powers that be are ordained of God. And there is no power but of God. So if there's a devil, he's doing God's will. For all things by necessity must work together for good for those who love their God and are called according to his purpose. So don't give me none of your dung. You stirred up my righteous indignation. If you come in this house, don't you look down your nose at any of my black people. So I'd have done it, whoever was dancing. Well, then don't you look down your nose at anybody. In this house, we paid for it, and we're going to keep it, and nobody can take it away from us. Well, I've got off that subject, I think. Unless you get nasty again down there, and I'll get just as mean as you can get. Say, you are funny. Yeah, I'll fight for my children. If you want to be sweet, I can give you all the love and the sweetness in the life. Every dream you've ever dreamed, I can fulfill. But if you want to meet me on the carnal level, I can whip hell out of you. There was a man named Whitey Freestone, an old honky bastard. His name was Whitey Freestone. One time he did something so despicable, because I don't do things. I said, I don't drink, and I don't get engaged in the low planes of sex for self-satisfaction or my own interest, no. Because I feel I owe something more to you. So all I have left is to eat. And I don't eat. If I ate like I wanted to eat, I couldn't get in that door. Because I feel like, I don't feel like it, I know that you need me. Ain't no question about it, I know you need me. I just love sweets, just love candy, won't eat candy, just love it. My, I could just eat it and eat it and eat it and eat it and never stop. Ice cream, I could just eat it until all that ice cream was eat up back there. Because I am a man after your own likeness. God said, let us make man in our likeness. I have had every temptation common to man. I've known every frailty that you had to undergo. Because I could not be a savior to you come out of Zion if I had not walked through your own sufferings. Now thus far, I have not lost one person ever who's listened to me. Never lost one. Got a sister staying out because of a sister that went to Sister Ellis. My Sister Ellis never was with me. She never was with me. Her heart was out there someplace. It was out there she even felt she had her own ministry. I liked her and would have done anything for her and talked to her repeatedly, but she didn't come to church when she could have come dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Then somebody going to condemn me because I was in a court room and I wasn't at her funeral. Sister Cooper. Sister Cooper can go to hell. Sister Cooper thinks that I need her, but I don't need anyone because I'm a savior. I'll tell you that even the family, as I waved my ministers on to get that dog and got out in the street, and even the family of the deceased today, they were very sweet. He said, I haven't been to church, but I want to know what time your church comes, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, I told him, and he was very kind. He understood me stopping. They were all smoking and living by a different standard than we, but he understood me stopping to get that car, to stop that car and get that little dog and save that dog. And someone else said, I don't know why he should do that. That was disrespectful to the dead. Why, my child, there are no dead in me. Sister Morris would have been happy about that as she could have been. There had been nothing done her heart more good than that to happen. I know where Sister Morris is. She's not no box. Even though she didn't listen to my words, she was a good woman. Her only mistake was just to take too much shit. Say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to drive away some folk that are not meant to be here, because we've got a ship of state. They called it in the old days the old ship of Zion. Well, we've got one. We've got sanctuary from dictatorship. We've got a cave that goes deep into the earth that would house 10,000. We've got food when the famine comes, and it's coming. I was right on everything else that happened in September, even to the fall of the president of Chile, down to the very brass tacks. I said what would happen on the various weeks and months and days, or rather days of September, and I did keep my promise. I did know what I was talking about. Say, I have not heard you cuss. No, this is the week for cussing. You've heard of Passover week. You've heard of Pentecostal week. You've heard of Resurrection week. This is cussing week, baby. You raise your hypocritical ass and I'll chop it down tonight. Somebody said, that's not giving respect for the dead to save a little dog. That's the way to respect the living. And I will never, as Sister Morris was good, though she didn't follow my instructions, I was there. But not for Sister Morris, I was there for her loved ones that were in this house. Sister Morris did not need me there. And if there'd been somebody out there that was in need in the land of the living, I would not have been at her funeral, because I wouldn't be at my own funeral. If somebody would, by some sort of quirk or situation, take this body, and I proved to you last Sunday, I don't need it. I proved to you conclusively last Sunday, I took a young man from the offertory room. He didn't know what was coming off. I took him up and I stood him there, and I said, I can show you I do not need my body. I sent my mind to him, and he called out the people detail for detail and brought them their healing. And I sat here, she was healed, and she was healed. Healed of an ear infection, healed of arthritic condition, healed of cancer. I did it, and he didn't know what was coming off, but he spoke every word I wrote down here. And some things I did not even concentrate enough to write down, because I keep charts on all those people that are dear to me. I've got things in your chart to meditate on you for days and weeks ahead. That's why I've asked for a picture from each one of you, because you come before me at least once a week. I go through these charts at least once a week, looking at your situations and looking at your needs that I have got by revelation and put down through this great observation that I have in this marvelous nine gifts. Yes, I put some things down, but some things I did not put down. I just held my mind and he picked them up.
So I do not need my body. And if for some reason I could find a body that can work more effectively than me, I would lay down my body. I don't want you to be at no funeral for this body. I don't want you to stand at no casket while some dog needed a little bit of love, even a little animal. I don't want you in the first place. You won't ever have a chance to look at me in no casket. I would not put you through that for all the world. I don't know why anybody wants to put that. I thought Sister Morris, it would have been a blessing to her if nobody had looked at her. That wasn't Sister Morris. As wonderful as these morticians are, and I think the Coopers are. This is another Cooper I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about that Cooper. This Cooper that is with Williams Mortuary. I thought they'd been nicer to us than anyone. If I were going to use a mortician, I'd go to them. They've been nice. But I thought, who in their right mind would want to be seen not looking like themselves? And I haven't seen nobody that they put in a box that looked like themselves. Nobody. I'll raise up and shake that mortuary if you do it. Don't you put me in no box. You're not going to have a chance to anyway. But I said, don't you even try to put me in no box. And have people walk around and some old fool moaning and groaning, trying to get the people to cry and singing out those old dead songs. I'd shake the whole damn place. I wish some of you'd make your statement now. Father, if I don't live on in this body and you have to give me another body, please don't let anybody put me in a box to be reviewed. I wish some of you do it now so I could keep that from happening, because some of you won't reduce. You know you won't. As much as I can save you and I could bring you into a place where you'd never die, some of you will never give up that food. You like to eat too much. So you make me have to give you another body so you can come back and chaw some more. Because my sweetest children, you got too much. If you can take a hold of anything in here, if you can touch, if you can get in here. If you can pinch anything here, you got too much. That's what I want to get rid of, because that means that much more of that heart. What do you think had happened to that pump that we've got up there on our beautiful senior citizen home if you'd put 5 homes on one water pump? It wouldn't pump 1 hour. And some of you folk are putting 5 bodies on one heart. Every inch of fat means a mile more that blood's got to pump. Every inch. Every pound, rather. Every pound. 1 mile more of blood circulation pump, pipeline, vascular system, bloodline. 1 mile for every pound. That's too much. And your heart's overworked. And I cannot keep you from dying if you won't keep my sayings. I know as well as I'm sitting here there was a promise that came if people would follow our diet, make the 20 calls a day, there'd be no death in this epoch. Folk won't make those 20 calls a day. You know you won't. There's just a few of you do. How many make 20 calls a day? Don't lie to me now, honey. You'll fall on your ass. That's better. See, you got nobody. If someone would take me seriously, well, I know, I'm just saying, maybe 3 people in this house. If people would take me seriously, what would happen? You only give me just a little bit of your faith. And I love you, but you're the best in the world. And you think this is not the best church, I suggest you go to some of that other mess. And just look at them.
One get up to testify, another got to out testify him. One sing, they all jealous of that one. They got to out sing that one. And everybody got to outdo somebody else. Peace. We got little problems here. Now there's a sickness there going bad sickness. Bad sickness just went out that door. It's always so. Just better tell them. You better tell them. The old cancer. People got to leave early. Every one of those folk that leave early, 99 times out of 100, they've got bad conditions in their body. And they'll invariably get up and leave. Say, well, you're late tonight. I come 700 miles a week one way, 600 miles. I travel 1,200 miles every week of the world, and sometimes twice that. Now, if I can come 1,200 miles a week to get here, why don't you sit on your ass and listen? I'm testing you. This is a test tonight. If you're offended at any point, you lose something that I've given you. Because if God is God, then he's got a right to speak as he will. You don't have any question when I reach down and tell you to get rid of those cancers. You don't have any question when I tell you to cut off those casts or remove those braces. You don't have any question. Then quit questioning me, because it's the same God. If you don't like the God that speaks about dungheels and shit heaps and asses, then you don't like the God that healed all those women last night of breast cancer. You can't separate one from the other, because I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. So indeed, I say, let people criticize if they will, but don't let your minds get into that plane of the one that Sister Cooper, who's running back and forth to Reno, to that low-down, no-account that I saved from jail. He was facing 5 years in jail, that old Cooper. You know who I'm talking about. You remember old Cooper. He's over there in Reno or Las Vegas or someplace. I wouldn't even take my time to figure out where he is at this moment, but I'll find him when I get ready to. Stood his ass up. I had five people facing sentences, and only one of them had come to me. He came to me. Four of them got 5 years just like that. They came to him, said, because of Jim Jones, you're off. He was pushing dope, and I saved him. It was a fence for dope. And I no sooner saved him, and he got one of our sisters here and took off. And she had the sense enough to come back and forth at least once in a while, until Sister Ellis went by the way of the grave, and Sister Ellis was saying that she had the same power I had. She had this kind of a thing, and she had that kind of a thing. He said, well, she brought you food. I wouldn't eat it. I need her food. Because she didn't come to my meetings. I don't sit and gorge on somebody's food, don't come to my meetings. I ate Rose's food and got a little sister down there that I healed from a heart attack, and somebody got to shouting and jumped on her and broke her leg. I eat her food every time. She'd bring her food in here, and I didn't eat it. That's the truth. Because you don't buy me that way. You don't impress me. If you want to be a follower, get in here and get in the meetings and support the cause. Some sister said, I thought she was a favorite of yours because the food came in. I thought, that's all I can get from her. So I let my disciples get the food. But God didn't eat the food. My disciples wouldn't eat if I'd told them not to. But I thought, that's one thing I can get from that sister, and I will get it, that will help me so that I don't have to spend out money for food that we can utilize for the cause. We'll have that much more money to save for the protection of all of you. I called her every day, 1 week in a row. I made calls on her every day. Then some Sister Cooper tell me, she hadn't told me, but that's what she said, and you know it. Some of you know it. I'm looking at you. She said, well, I don't like that. He didn't go to Mrs. Ellis's funeral. You tell her I ain't going to go to hers, and it ain't going to be too long. She better straighten her damn mouth. I saved her no account, husband. As I said, I saved him. Let him to go over there. That's the mercy of me. I saved him. I didn't expect him to stay. But I thought, he's too old to be in jail. And he was black. Being black alone is a big excuse in this country. I'd work for any black. Because they've got a special premium due. Their insurance is overdue. I don't mean their payments. I mean the payoff. So I'd help any Indian or Mexican or black. So I helped him knowing full well he wouldn't. But she married him, and that was her problem. Then he took off and went to Nevada. And she kept coming here. Some, and now she's sitting home, and she's not going to come, saith she, because I did not go to Mrs. Ellis's funeral, who didn't even want to publicly identify with his church. So I'm going to tell you that you better tell her that she better change her attitude, or I won't even go to her funeral. Yes, Sister Davis knows Sister Ellis. And I liked her, and I stood by her and did what I could for her. But what can I do for somebody in a graveyard or in a funeral parlor? And some teaching will be done in just a little bit. Now, if you can't wait to get your rectum healed, that's what I'm talking. I'm not being funny now. If you can't wait to get your rectum healed, if it's bad enough that it's sore and there's bleeding, you ought to just be patient enough to let me do what I've got to do, because I'm trying to make myself clear so that you can get the healing that you're looking for. It's Friday night. Now, I know some of my folk, we've got to go to San Francisco tonight, and some 6 o'clock in the morning. They're not griping. So why should you? If you didn't need me, why didn't you stay over at the Deliverance Tabernacle? Say, well, you can raise them from the dead in the funeral parlor. You ain't seen nobody raising anybody from the dead in the funeral parlor. You haven't seen nobody come up with embalming fluid. No, you ain't. Say, don't you know better to say ain't? I know what I'm doing, baby. I'm a high school principal. I've been a school teacher, but I'm going to talk just exactly like I can to get your ass out of here. If Bishop Crane can sit down there and chuckle, then you ought to be able to do it. And his good wife, who's been a Church of God in Christ missionary holiness for years, if they can see reality, they've been up in Redwood Valley for weeks, if they can see the goodness of God and can look behind the scene and know what makes me tick, then you ought to be able to make it, particularly being that you were screwing around with a deacon last week. I'm going to clip another couple down here too. I'm about ready to single one of you out. Sit there and look at me like you're some kind of... I've never taken any man's wife, and I could have taken thousands. I've never once ever slipped into any man's wife's bedroom. No man that I can't look straight in the eye, because I've never, never once betrayed a man's confidence. Never once. Then you sit down there and not smile and look straight stone-faced when you don't even know which man you've been with last. To be your stupid sky god, I claim to be the only god there is. I claim that I have this year resurrected 459 people. This year. I've done that. But they didn't have embalming fluid in them, and you never saw anybody resurrected with embalming fluid in them. The energy force has to still be around the body. Doesn't have to be in it. I've brought people back when the energy was out of the body. I've captured the aura and the light and brought it back with the one that laid 20 minutes dead. 20 minutes. Yes, you and her, 2 hours. That life force gone. But no embalming fluid. It's idiotic stuff. Time for you to get my resurrection is to listen to me now while I can prevent you from going by the way of the grave. Listen to what I have to say. I don't want to be compared to your myths. Anybody can write a book. King James is full of hot air. All you have to do is read it and know it's full of hot air. All you have to know is just read just a little bit of it. Or get my booklet back there, The Letter Killeth. And know how bad that slave-owning king was that sent the good ship Jesus to Africa to bring back our people in slave chains. Can't tell you one account of Jesus' life and keep it straight. Not one of the writers keep anything straight about what happened to Jesus. That's what King James has done to Scripture. So don't compare me to your myths, but you compare me to other churches. You see if you know any church that's been established 1 year ago, September, that has now moved into the apartment area, that has now got senior citizens in a Los Angeles house up in Redwood Valley, that's moved up 88 people that were members of Los Angeles Temple, officially took the responsibility to move them up. Many of the seniors that are sitting right here, how many live in Redwood Valley, formerly lived in Los Angeles? How many live in the valley that are here tonight? You were in Los Angeles. Yeah. Your sister was healed of cancer, was operated 5 times. That's what I mean. How many of you lived in Los Angeles and now brought up here? Or you're now in Redwood Valley. Well, we've got a lot of folk, you see, that are not here. But look at the hands here that are with us tonight. Because you see, we have very few people that came down with us. But we've got all kinds of people up there. You name them. How many people can you name offhand? What? Stand up there and tell it. Stand up. Yes, you know another people? What? Mother Taylor? David Gaines? What? Yes, Sister Sneed? Yes? Send us Sister Bailey. What's the name? Fair? Sister Fair's friend? What is it, Amanda? Yes, Fair, yes. Fitch, yes. All kinds of people. Gennaro's, yes. I imagine you come up with 150 instead of 88 that I know of that we've officially helped move up. Now you show me a church that's done that in 1 year. You show me. I can show you all kinds of churches in this town that haven't even paid.